It's where I've been and who I am, all the ways I've grown.
This isn't self-help, it's a full-on rebirth. Welcome to Girl Wake Up, the podcast for women who are done playing small, staying silent, or living by rules they never wrote. I'm Amy Polacco, journalist, divorce and life coach, and freedom warrior, and I'm here to help you take your power back. Because the system isn't going to save us. We need to save ourselves. So grab your coffee, your courage, and maybe a few curse words. It's time to wake up. Welcome to Girl Wake Up, everybody. I'm so excited for our guest today. She is the prenup queen, and we are calling this episode Prenups Power and Peace of Mind for good reason. That's because prenups don't just protect wealthy men, ladies. Every woman should have one. Devonnie Wells Gibson, right, is a divorce attorney. Yes, in San Diego, California. She specializes in prenuptial agreements and helping couples leverage the marriage for wealth building. She's a coffee lover who genuinely enjoys the taste of coffee. I love that. And off the clock, enjoys dancing and takes heels choreography classes. Welcome, Devonnie. Okay, so she has these cute glasses, these rose-colored glasses. Put them on for us. Tell us the meaning of these.
That's literally why I purchased them, yes. Rose-colored glasses. I was mostly using them for, content, but now I actually enjoy them. So.
Right, because today we are going to make sure women take those rose-colored glasses off, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I love your name, the Prenup Queen. I've been following you for a while. I want to know, what made you become so passionate about this mission of prenup?
Yeah. Well, I actually, my passion first was I want to be a divorce attorney. I want to protect women, which ultimately leads to protecting children. So children had always been my mission. And through that, I felt like I needed to protect the women because just statistically speaking, like in a divorce battle or whatever, women are more likely to take custody of kids. So, or to primarily care for the kids, the ones most likely impacted by that too. And so that's where it originally started. Then fast forward to me becoming a divorce attorney, me being minor's counsel, me being now in the nitty gritty of it all, meaning I'm in people's finances, I'm in people's personal lives, I see everything. And I just wanted to create something specifically for women to avoid these situations, like to create something to where they are proactive in the beginning stage before they say I do, or maybe they're married and now they're changing things within their marriage to set a more solid foundation so they don't end up in my divorce seat. And so through that, that's where Prenup Queen came in. And I've had to learn the lesson that there's so much stigma behind prenups, to where people only think of prenups as protection against divorce in the sense of like, you are now divorcing and now you need to use the prenup. But now my mission is helping people understand that prenups are like a proactive step for protection against divorce so people don't end up getting divorced. So that's where it all stemmed from. That's the evolution of the Prenup Queen. But long story short, it started with kids. Because I am a product of divorce. Mm-hmm. I've done a few studies on the effects of really father absenteeism and how it affects kids when they grow up. So I'm trying to figure out how to maintain the family structure so that way it doesn't actually affect kids. And so now I focus on women and making sure they're up to speed on how to have a solid foundation for marriage.
I love that. You have a huge heart. I've loved that about you since I met you. And I think our work is similar, right? In that I see women when they're thinking about divorce or in the throes of a horrible divorce. And we want to educate people ahead of time. That's why Girl Wake Up covers all sorts of things. We hope that women who are 20 are listening, women who are 50 in a gray divorce, and maybe a woman who's 75. I mean, who knows? And men could benefit from it too.
Absolutely. Yes.
I want to ask you, you know, why do you believe talking about money before marriage is one of the most empowering steps a woman can take in her life?
There's several reasons. If we're talking about statistics on divorce, it's because finances is one of the leading like causes of divorce.
Right.
So absent that, again, because I don't necessarily want to focus on the divorce aspect, but absent that, the fact that we just got rights, we just learned that we can have our own bank accounts, that we don't need men to be co-signers and stuff like that. And we don't have as much time with the information around money like men do. So that's why I think it's important for women to be up to speed, because we fought for these rights. It doesn't mean, when I say that, it doesn't mean like you have to be the person in charge of all the finances. That just means like be aware, be attuned, be involved if you are maybe the person who takes a back seat. Because what I've also come to realize is when we're going through the divorce process and when the woman isn't involved, she has no idea. She has no idea how much he makes. She has no idea what type of bank accounts there are. She has no idea about how much debt there is. Like, they're just so in the dark and they feel so powerless, because now we're navigating through this divorce process a little blind until we start this process called discovery to try to get all this information. And that's a very expensive process. So if you don't got money for it, you're going through the divorce process blind and just hoping the other person is being truthful with all the assets that are truly out there. So I just really need women to just step into a power of, you know what, I should know what's actually going on in my marriage. And before you get married, I should know what is happening in this other person's finances. I should also have my own finances on lock, because now we're about to become one. What they do is going to affect me. What I do is going to affect them. We are now becoming one union. So you should be aware of the other person's finances before you say I do.
Exactly. And ladies, marriage is a business deal at the end of the day, right, Devaney? Get all into the Cinderella thing. We've all grown up watching all these Disney movies and reading books and rom-coms and everything. But at the end of the day, you're linking your financial destiny to another person, right? And you're absolutely right about discovery, because as a divorce coach, I tell my clients, this is the list of things I want you to get now. And sometimes somebody will say, well, can't we just get it later? Won't the attorney, you know, file for discovery? And I say, get that now. It'll be a lot cheaper. It'll be a lot less painful, right? Because once you say the word divorce, the D word, things change. Money's hidden. Documents are hidden. Passwords are changed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Bank accounts drained. All of a sudden, they're locked out. No longer have access to those credit cards they've been using. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I have a lot of clients who have been stay-at-home moms, right? And the husband has been the executive and they thought that was a great plan. And I think, you know, stay-at-home moms do a ton of work. I think it's been valued at $184,000 minimum a year. But the problem is when divorce comes along and you don't have a prenup or a postnup, I've seen these women be called gold diggers just because they need money to survive. They've been out of the workforce for 25 years. They can't go walk into corporate and earn $300,000, right?
Absolutely. And it's funny because I do spend some time on Instagram and I saw this post by her IG is called like Single Mom Attorney. And she said something along the lines of, it's funny how women get shamed for needing like if they're a working mom, how they're shamed for needing help, whether it's a nanny or help with cooking or help with whatever, because like the money's frivolous, but yet men want to turn women into stay-at-home moms so they get it for free.
Yep. That's like, so true.
Yes. So I am the type of person that thinks if you are a stay-at-home mom, and this is what I talk to all my prenup clients about, if I know they're going to be a stay-at-home mom, do you think that deserves to be compensated? And what does that look like? And so I know people call it like allowances and stuff like that, which is kind of a nasty word. But like, okay, we open up a spousal IRA. So like if you're a stay-at-home mom, you can have still a retirement account specifically for you, as long as your other person's working and the husband contributes into your spousal IRA. So you have your own retirement account just in case.
I love that idea. I love
it. Yeah. But if you're the cook, you're the cleaner, you're the nanny, you're doing all of it, why does that not deserve some type of compensation? Yes, you get a roof over your head, that's fine. Yes, you have someone hopefully that's buying also the groceries, but you still have to cook everything. You still have to take care of everything, and that should be compensated. And so I think really to me, that's like a worth perspective and a value perspective on what a stay-at-home parent actually brings to the marriage. Imagine putting your kids in daycare. Daycare mm-hmm. is the cost of a mortgage.
Right.
It does not make sense. So the savings that you're bringing to your family, the fact that you actually get to be a present parent for your kids and be there for all their events, that's huge. There just needs to be more value placed on stay-at-home.
Exactly. Parent. When you look at the net worth of a family unit, the spouse who's been able to keep climbing maybe the corporate ladder or build an independent business would not be able to do that if the other spouse hadn't done everything else. So exactly. They are entitled to that wealth. That is our wealth. You know, I work with a lot of clients who are dealing with narcissistic high conflict spouses, right? Who immediately say, I, me, mine. It's like a toddler in a sandbox. It's my toy. It's my money, you know? So I think it's really, really important for women to protect themselves. So, you know, I want to ask you our truth or trap now. Okay. It's a segment we have on Girl Wake Up where I share a common societal message women hear and we have our guest react to it. You say whether it's truth or trap. So here we go, Devaney. Prenups mean you don't trust each other.
Oh, well, you already know what I'm going to say on that one. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, a prenup means you want to lay everything on the table so y'all both know what you're working with. So that way, once you say I do, you can build the dream, like the dream wife, the dream marriage, the dream partnership. It's a method of transparency. So that way y'all can build. So you already knew it. I feel like you knew what I was going to say.
That was an easy one for you. But I think that we do hear this though, right? Like that's not romantic. Mm-hmm. Oh, what are you dooming your marriage from the very beginning by signing a prenup? How could you do that? Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But no, my perspective is it's not an issue of trust. It is an issue of communication. And not an issue. It is an act of communication. It is an act of really believing that it's two individuals becoming one union. So I hear it all the time that it's like you said, well, that means you don't trust me. And truthfully, I think it's a manipulation tactic because I also think like, well, when you sit down and draft a prenup, all you're really doing is saying, look, these are my expectations. These are my standards. This is what I have. This is what you have. This is what we want to build, how we want to build it. And if someone doesn't agree to your dreams, your goals, your vision, whatever, then they don't want to sign it. I think it's also an accountability method. Because mm-hmm. I have my feelings on like infidelity clauses, but I know a lot of people love to put them in prenups. And there's a lot of resistance on people wanting to sign documents that are going to hold them accountable. And so I think that's actually what it is. And it's a manipulation tactic to just not have it. Either a manipulation tactic or just like a lack of education on understanding what a prenup actually is. But it's just a contract. That is literally all it is. Like y'all two are just sitting down and like I said, going over what y'all's expectations, boundaries, standards are. And just putting it on paper and then signing. So this is what you're responsible for. This is what I'm responsible for. This is how I want to handle our assets, our debts. It's either joint, separate, so on, so forth. Like I said, infidelity clauses, things like that. So
could you go over like what are the most important clauses or protections women should insist on in a prenup? And I want to be clear to everybody, right, that custody cannot be covered in a prenup. That is governed by each individual state. So you can't say in the event of a divorce, I get primary custody of the kids. That's not on the table at all, right, Devaney?
Correct. Absolutely. Because that's you pretty much signing away like children's rights in one sense. And in another sense, it's because you don't know what their best interest is going to be down the road. What happens if someone becomes like a meth addict?
Right.
Okay. They're not going to get custody.
That's right.
So that is correct. But the most important provisions that I like to put in prenups has to do with the assets. So what belongs to who? And not to mean like, this is mine, it's only mine, but meaning like, who's responsible for it? So like, if someone has a business, say you've, before you got married, you built up this nice business.
Mm-hmm.
Is that business now going to be 100% yours? Or do you want your person to now start to accumulate an interest into that business? Does that mean if you now start having creditors come after you because maybe you have some outstanding debts, is that just your responsibility? Or can they now start going after marital assets because you have an interest in those marital assets? So it's really just creating boundaries and standards so that way both y'all know what's happening with these assets or debts. And then that way too, if creditors start coming after you, it's or start coming after the marital assets, you can say no because maybe you don't have an interest in that, or maybe because this is just your separate obligation. There's just so many benefits that you can get from creditors if you have a prenup that's outlining what is and isn't yours. So that probably wasn't the best example when it comes to creditors. The better example would actually be, for instance, if your other spouse had creditors coming after them trying to touch, say, your business. Mm-hmm. But in the prenup, you said your business was a separate property asset to you, meaning your other person has no interest in it. Now creditors can't come after it because he or she has no interest in your asset. So that blocks creditors from your partner's debts because it is your own asset. They have no interest in it. So that's, sorry, that's the more correct example there. Also debts, like I said, but I kind of just went into that with the example. And then the compensation. Yeah. So are we opening a spousal IRA? Are we going to compensate the stay-at-home parents, if they're going to be a stay-at-home parent, for their work? So like I said, people don't like the term allowance, but like, are you, how much money is going to be into like in their account? Mm-hmm. Are y'all having joint accounts, separate accounts, or a hybrid of both? How are y'all depositing the money into that? How are y'all transferring it? It's those types of conversations, which you would have anyways before you get married. You're just putting it on paper. So having a discussion on what type of accounts we're going to have, that's usually outlined as mm-hmm. well. In mine, so because obviously I just got engaged, so I'm having a prenup. We actually already had a cohabitation agreement, and it's just going to move
into
a prenup.
I mean, I think it's great. I'm just picturing you like here. You want to move in?
Absolutely.
Here.
But in mine, before my dog passed away, she was in our cohabitation agreement, which would have turned into a prenup. So making sure that if anything happens, she is absolutely mine.
Pets are a huge thing people fight over.
Exactly. So pets. And then the biggest one will be reimbursements. So like if you like to gift money to friends and family,
yes,
there needs to be a discussion on that. Is that money going to be reimbursed to the community? Is that just going to be considered a gift? Or are we going to expect them to pay us back sometime? Stuff like that. So having those types of conversations, putting those expectation standards into the
prenup. Yeah, I see so many clients who say, you know, look, my parents gave us $200,000, $300,000 for our house. We were supposed to pay them back. But, you know, without any, you know,
formal documentation,
it's really mm-hmm. hard to get that back in a divorce. The other thing I want to ask you about is alimony, because there have been prenups. Mm-hmm. I know I have some clients with prenups that say, look, if you stay married to me for this many years, you'll get this much in alimony, this much in alimony.
Yep.
There's been speculation. I don't know if any of it has been confirmed. You're in California. You can speak better to this about Nicole Kidman and, you know, her husband, right? Getting divorced, Keith Urban.
Yeah.
Oh, actually they're not in California, but, right. You know, so there can be all sorts of permutations of this, right?
Yes. So the only reason why I didn't mention spousal support is because that one is actually thinking about a divorce ending. So as long as people are willing to have that conversation, mm-hmm. then absolutely put spousal support or alimony into the prenup. And obviously the more that y'all can talk about, the better, because this is a stage where y'all love each other the most. Okay. You are more willing to, baby, yes, of course. I want to be able to support you so you can get back on your feet after everything you've done for our family. If that were the case, if you really raised our kids for 18 years and you know, that's a conversation that's likely to be more amicable at this time.
Right.
As opposed to if a divorce happens.
Absolutely.
They're not going to want you to have a dime.
Oh, what I hear on the daily, Devaney, right, is men who say, I'm not paying any alimony. I don't want to pay you anything, right? And of course, many of them have to by law.
Absolutely.
But
yes,
times have changed. A lot of attorneys have told me lifetime alimony is gone. You know, they expect women to work. And I think women really have to protect themselves more than ever, actually, right?
Yes. Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, so at least here in California, because it's different in every state, there is permanent spouse support alimony. But in other states like Texas, which I believe they call it like spousal maintenance, they are not friendly to that in Texas. So it's really dependent on where you end up being each state. Each state has different laws.
Right. In Connecticut here, it's like a thing of the past. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the difference between a prenup and a postnup.
Okay.
Okay. What differentiates them and when would you use a postnup?
Yeah. So they're technically the exact same thing. They are the exact same thing. The only difference is timing. And the most important difference is how they are viewed in courts. Mm. So prenups are obviously before you get married. They're pre the nuptials, prenuptial. So a prenuptial agreement. Then you have a postnup, the post the nuptial. So it's after you get married. So the timing is what makes them different. How they're held up in court is also very different because now the bargaining power is different. When you are not married, your bargaining power is to be able to walk away. Mm-hmm. Like you realize that y'all are so misaligned, you can say goodbye. Like you have a stronger bargaining power before you get married, which makes prenups a lot stronger.
Right. And exactly. I was going to say that earlier when we talked about stay-at-home moms is when you make that decision, you know, and look, as a mom, I get it. When my son was born, I needed something flexible. I think it's one of the most noble things you can do if you want to raise your kids and be at home. But you're giving up so much power at that moment. There's a lot going on. And you're thinking, I'm with a partner who's going to take care of me forever, right?
Right. That is true. And I will say, before I finish off about prenups, when I was dating.
I love your personal story. Keep going.
Yeah. When I was dating, I'm very blunt. I'm very type A, which is not attractive to a lot of people. I understand that. But when I was dating, I asked all the questions up front because I didn't want to waste my time and I didn't want to waste their time neither. And so one of my questions would be, I want to be a stay-at-home parent. How do you feel about that? Because it is true. For me, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. That has been my biggest thing. With a little bit of modernization in there, right? Because I still want to have a little bit of my own business.
Right.
I have my emergency fund, all that stuff. And that would turn a lot of men off. So that would immediately tell me I am not aligned with them. So it's an automatic, this isn't going anywhere. It was so nice to meet you. Goodbye. And we would never talk.
I think it's smart.
Exactly. Having those tough conversations ahead of time. And so when I met Berto, one of my biggest things with him was, look, I want to be a stay-at-home parent. Matter of fact, I want three kids. Is this something you can handle? Because that's also a lot of pressure on men to front a whole household, you know, on one income.
Right,
so
right.
That requires a certain type of man to provide like that. And so, and we've had a lot of conversations on that. And then once we moved in together, got engaged, all that good stuff. We really buckled down on our finances, more so his, but our finances.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Right?
I just have this feeling he's probably not going to be listening to Girl Wake Up.
Absolutely not. But maybe I might say, look, this episode dropped. Support me. Go like it, comment, all that good stuff. But it was a conversation I had, and that's what made me stay. So then now a lot of our prenup is outlining me being a stay-at-home mom and any protections just in case we do split. So yes, having those conversations early is, yes, phenomenal. But going back to the prenup, postnup. So the bargaining power is if I'm now talking about this to him after we get married, what am I going to do? Go divorce him? I'm already stuck. I'm already stuck in the marriage. So right. The bargaining power with the postnup is a lot less because I can't just walk away because I'm already in the marriage. So because it's viewed differently, a prenup is viewed as a valid document. The presumption is that it is a valid document.
And people should always have an attorney draw it up. Don't think you can DIY this. Like people think they can DIY a divorce. No, ladies, no, you will not be protected, right?
Yes and no. So the only time, so the prenup is governed by the UPAA, the Uniform Premarital Agreement Act. And that's uniform across all states. So it's all the same law with little nuances for each state. So the only time an attorney is absolutely mandatory is if there is any mention on spousal support, especially if it's going to be waived. If you are waiving spousal support, you have to have an attorney in order for it to be valid, because that is a huge thing that you are giving up. And they want to make sure you had an attorney to go over those rights with you before you signed that dotted line. So
But I would advise anyone to consult an attorney, right?
Absolutely.
Because you don't know what you don't know. And so with a postnup, when do these come up? Because I can think of a few instances where people say, all right, I didn't get one before, but now I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, right? Or there could be, as you said earlier, they start a business. Or I have heard and seen, you know, one partner's unfaithful and is begging the other to stay in the marriage. And the other partner says, okay, I will, but we have to have a postnup, right?
Yes. So I thought you're going somewhere else with that. But that last one is very true. And I actually recently maybe just did, I think, two on that very issue. One was infidelity. The other one was the other person racked up a crap ton of debt and did not tell the other person. So that's what sparked the postnup. But usually what happens is when women start to get a little bit more involved, they start to see things, they want a postnup because now they actually want to outline their rights, their expectations. I've done a few postnups where the woman is actually really wanting to divorce and just want the postnup. So that way, if a divorce does happen, it's not nasty. Recently, I've had a few people like that who were in therapy. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I just don't know if I can keep doing this. I'm trying. They're begging me to stay in this relationship and I'm struggling. But they're in that sense, they are anticipating a divorce and they just don't want a messy divorce. So they're asking for a postnup. It's hard, though, because the other person has to sign it.
Right,
so then they're going to start asking, why are you giving me these documents all of a sudden? So that's really what I've seen. The business, that is a big one. It depends on how involved the other spouse is also in that business. But usually if a woman's trying to really get something off the ground, they'll usually just do like a postnup, not a full blown postnup, but just to say something about the business and the accounts with the business and stuff like that. So you can piecemeal a prenup or postnup doesn't have to be about everything under the sun. It can just be about the things that are most important to you also.
It can also cover inheritances, right, Devaney?
Yes.
I mean, like if someone thinks they're getting one or they know they're getting one.
Yes. So, but again, each state's very different. So I can tell you like in California, for people who don't want prenups, I'm never going to force a prenup down someone's throat. So absent a prenup, at least here in California, inheritances are separate property, regardless. They will never be community property so long as you keep it in a separate account and you only use it for like separate things.
Right.
Like,
you don't commingle it with the family.
Exactly.
Finances, right.
Exactly. So then once your family starts to rely on it, or once it starts to be commingled with community assets, now it's up for debate on whether there's a community interest in it. So if you don't want to have to worry about that, the best thing to possibly do is just get a prenup or a postnup. I don't even care if you don't want to call, don't use the terms prenup, postnup, just say a marital agreement. Just,
right.
Like if the terminology is going to sour it for you, just call it a marital agreement, and just put in there that the inheritance is 100% your separate property, even if you use it to benefit the family. Because the thought is, when you come into money like that, or when you have a lot of money, you genuinely want to support the family. Like, that is natural. Right. That is normal.
I've heard many women who've come to me and say, look, we did this massive renovation on the house and we used the inheritance I got from my mom. Mm-hmm. And then it's in that. So I should get that back when we divide things up, and it doesn't always work out that way. Right.
It's a hit and miss. So technically speaking, yes. And I've seen courts go so many different ways. Judges have so much discretion.
I know.
Even though you might think the law is like cut and dry, judges have so much discretion, so much power. So at least here in California, even though it's separate property and you're using it for the benefit of the community, I've seen some judges say, but you're using it for the community and the community has relied on it. It's been commingled with y'all's assets. It's community. But then I've also been successful to tell the court, but inheritances are separate property. So she used it to benefit a community asset. The community should reimburse her that money. And I've been successful on that. So it's really a hit and miss. Divorce court is messy. You do not know what's going to happen. It is like going to a casino and gambling.
That's a great way of putting it. Maybe we should have called our book Framed that. As you know, I co-authored the book, you know, Women in the Family Court Underworld. It is an upside down world. So when people think there's some guarantee or roadmap, there really is not. And that leads me to this other question I have for you, Debony, is that do you see ever, I'm sure you do, like, coercive control or financial abuse sometimes in these marriages, right? Where maybe he's trying to coerce her to sign something, or she wants protection, but he wants control, so he's not willing to. Like, how do you handle that?
Absolutely. And that's more so evident when the woman is so blind to what's happening financially. They don't know anything. And he has always been in control of the finances. And they want to sit there and say, but I trust him. He gives you like $100 a month. Absent like they're not being spousal support, he'll be like, this is all I'm giving you. And like, we can go to court. Like, I can literally go to court, file paperwork for you to be ordered to pay her spousal support. And this especially, sorry, I'm getting like riled up. This especially frustrates me when women are like, I want to stay out of the court system. I just want to do like, see if we can settle mediation. And I'm like, at the very least, file the paperwork. Mm-hmm. So that way it's at least pending with the court. So if he's sitting here playing games with you and you are still struggling to financially support yourself because he's holding the purse strings, we still have something pending in court so we can get back pay if it comes down to that. So that way now you actually have more power to say, if you're not going to participate, if you're not coming to the table genuinely, then I'll just go to court. Because this is what I'm entitled to if we go to court, and you're going to owe me back all this money plus 10% interest, because that's the California rate. So I get riled up because it's mostly the women who are so, I don't want to say passive.
But they're scared to rock the boat. I think sometimes women want mediation, wish it will work, and it often does not work with a narcissistic spouse and a high conflict person. They're wasting your time. They're trying to roll over you. There's a power imbalance, and you know, there are some great mediators and there are some who can't control somebody like that. And they give in, right?
Exactly. The spouse who can afford the attorney and you can't because you don't have access to the money or you don't work. So imagine trying to find good counsel who charge $600 an hour. And instead, you have to find somebody that's just affordable. I'm not saying they're not good, because affordable can be good, but sometimes you get what you pay for. And so, and sometimes it takes money to play the game in family court. Yeah. So that's another form.
Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to ask you, Debony, is, you know, what trends are you seeing when it comes to prenups and postnups, for that matter? Are more women getting them? I know you feel like they should be.
I will say, I think it's becoming more normalized. I think the conversations around prenups are starting to become easier. Mm-hmm. It's not as taboo, but I think that's coming from the younger generation, because also they just don't, at least in my opinion, they don't even care about marriage. They're just like, marriage is a scam.
The studies show it. The studies show it. More and more young women are like, no thanks.
No, thank you. And I completely get it. I get it. It is so easy to get married, so hard to get divorced. And the consequences of divorce are horrible. But otherwise, I will say what's a little bit disheartening for me is that most men, at least most of my clients for prenups, are men.
Right.
But I will say the women that I do have coming in are very, what's the word? Type A isn't the word. Assertive. They're very assertive. They're the type that they understand their value and their worth. And I will say just from, I think only like a few of them are my friends, so I understand their personalities. But I will say all of them as a whole are the type, the ones who hired me to actually draft it. Like they sought me out saying, I want a prenup. They are willing to walk away if the prenup's not signed or if their expectations aren't going to be met. Like that's how assertive they are. They found
They've woken up, right? The girls have woken up.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
There is a subset though of women who have just hired me to review a prenup. So meaning they got handed the prenup and now they just need an attorney.
That was my question, that both sides have somebody review, right?
Yes. But they're more so the type that's like, I don't even want this prenup. I'm just going to sign it because that's what he wants. And I'll find things and I'm like, we need to change this to protect you. At the end of the day, it's their decision. I'm just here to advise them.
Right.
And a lot of them are just like, I don't want to rock the boat. And I'm like, girl, please, like, woman to woman, this is what I think. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do because that's what I'm being paid for. But they're just so, it's just a difference in personality. That's all it is.
And they're scared to do it. I want to wrap up, Devani, with a listener letter we got. Okay. And I'm going to read it, then maybe I'll give a little my take. I want your take on this to help this listener out, okay?
Okay.
She says, Dear Girl Wake Up, I've been married for 12 years, and lately I've been thinking about asking my husband for a post-nuptial agreement, not because I'm planning to leave, but because I finally want to know where I stand. The truth is, I stepped away from my career when our kids were little. He runs the finances, makes the investments, and has his own attorney for work stuff. I trust him mostly, but after seeing what's happened to a few friends and their divorces, I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel vulnerable. The problem is I don't know how to bring it up. Every time I hint at it, he jokes, what are you planning your exit strategy? I'm not. I'm planning my security, but he gets defensive. How do I start this conversation without it blowing up my marriage? I mean, my first thought on this one, Devani, is, you know, asking for a post-nup is not a threat, right? It's like a boundary. It's about protecting yourself. And if this woman, listener, you know, if you stayed home and took care of the kids, you invested in the family, as we've talked about, in a huge way. So making you feel guilty for that, that's a trap, right? You know, saying, oh, it's your exit strategy. So I think one way to start the conversation is saying, you know, I love our family. I think we should both be protected no matter what. And this is something I need for my peace of mind. And it reminds me, Devani, of what you said at the beginning of this episode, which is, you know, if somebody reacts negatively to that, that says a lot about how they feel about you, right? I mean, what's your take on this?
Do you know how old they are?
I don't, but okay. I would assume probably midlife, right? You know, staying home.
They said they had kids.
Yeah.
My original thought is you're already married. I think in order to have that conversation, you can't, not to be manipulative. It's just, prenups, postnups have a negative stigma to it. So that's why he's saying, what are you doing? Planning your exit? So now he's thinking something's wrong. So I think there's just a more tender way she has to go about it to then educate him on why she's wanting the postnup and what her thoughts are for wanting the postnups, like explaining to him why she thinks she needs these protections. So my first thought is she needs to be involved in the finances. What actually does she have? what actually does he have? The unit together, what do they have? Because she said he controls everything. So to me, it makes it sound like she kind of wants to be involved and she wants to know what's happening.
Right.
Because she's probably on the outskirts of everything. So I would say she needs to sit down, say, hey, babe, let's have a money date. Hey, babe, let's talk finances. Let's set this Saturday aside and let's talk about money. I want to see where we're at. See how he reacts to that. I think it's just like a gradual progression. I don't know how long they've been together. I don't know how old their kids are. I don't know how old they are. I don't know their thoughts on money, prenups, marriage, all that good stuff. But she knows him better than anybody else. So she knows all that information and how he reacts to certain types of things. So she just needs to tailor her communication to that. But start with, let's talk about money.
Right. Don't go straight to the postnup, then take some baby steps.
Exactly.
So then it seems like a logical conclusion, right? Like, and, you know, I was thinking she could use the excuse of like, which is the truth that, you know, all these other divorces are getting me nervous. Not that I think that's happening to us, but it really made me think. I really, you know, I've been so busy with the kids, but I should know more about our finances.
Yeah. But this is where I say maybe use different terminology. So don't call it a postnup. Just say, right. Hey, actually, I want to manage this account. I want to be the person who takes care of X, Y, and Z. Like, let's actually put this on paper, have it signed, whatever, because if X, Y, and Z happens, I want us to be protected. If we want to do a will or a trust or some type of estate plan, maybe we actually need this document so we can do whatever it is we're trying to do. There's so many other benefits to a prenup other than, or postnup, other than just protection against divorce that she can use to also get him on board with the postnup. So I think I really just need to understand what it is, why she's wanting the postnup, like what she's concerned about. Because I think it's a little bit deeper than just protect myself. Protect yourself,
right.
Like what's happening, what's going on with these finances. And then also understanding how he thinks, so that way we can also get him on board.
All right. I think that is amazing advice, great advice. Thank you so much. I think you have empowered so many women today. Where can our listeners find you?
So obviously on Instagram, The Prenup Queen. That's where they can find me.
Yeah.
But also, we have a community which should actually launch by the time this podcast
airs.
Goes live. So it's called Lover Girl CEO Community, and it's a free community where there will be women in there who are wanting to use their marriage to build wealth within it. So even if you're a stay-at-home parent, what I love to tell stay-at-home moms or parents or dads, whoever, whatever, it's really for women though. You can still build wealth by being a stay-at-home parent. So it's just a community for that. How can we build our lives with our significant other to be the best partnership it can be when it comes to money? How can we empower ourselves to be involved when it comes to our retirement accounts, investment accounts, so on and so forth. So it's just a community specifically for the lover girls who also are a little bit type A and still want to make sure their futures are going to be protected.
I love that. I think it's fabulous. So thank you. Thanks so much, Devaney. I'll let you, you know, put your rose colored glasses back on and go. No, I know you don't wear them. You don't definitely don't wear them.
thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Girl Wake Up. I'm your host, Amy Polacco. If this episode woke something up in you, don't let it fade. Share it with a friend who needs to hear it, leave a review, and keep this conversation going. Remember, no one's coming to save you. So she did. Get without-